Welcome to the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign's Big Money Podcast. The state Senate has approved a proposal on a 26-7 vote that would require special interest groups that sponsor negative broadcast ads and mailings during an election year to disclose where they get their funding and how much they spend. The proposal now goes to the Assembly, which hasn't said when it will vote on the plan. But Senate and Assembly action aside, there's a U.S. Supreme Court decision looming that could determine whether the bill ever becomes law in Wisconsin. With us to talk about legislative action on the proposal and that big Supreme Court decision is the Democracy Campaign's Executive Director, Mike McCabe. First, Mike, the Senate vote Tuesday on the so-called phony issue ad bill. How long has this been coming? How important is it, and who benefits?
Well, it's been a long time in the making. We really started seeing these phony issue ads in the late 1990s, and they really began to accelerate in the first part of the next decade. We've been trying to get this loophole closed all along, so this has been a fight that's been going on for years. This is the biggest single loophole in Wisconsin's campaign finance laws. This is the loophole that has basically devoured our laws and has rendered all the disclosure requirements and campaign contribution limitations in those longstanding laws functionally meaningless. And so this is a big deal. This legislation closes a loophole that special interest groups have been using to escape disclosure and to escape campaign contribution limits and secretly spend unlimited sums of money to influence elections.
Who does it benefit? Voters, candidates?
I think first and foremost, the public benefits. This is about the public's right to know. Voters deserve to know who's trying to influence an election. And right now, groups can form with some sort of patriotic-sounding name or a name that sounds like motherhood and apple pie. You've got groups out there like Alliance for All Children Matter, the Coalition for America's Families, Greater Wisconsin Committee. Your average voter doesn't know who the heck these groups are. And the thing is that these groups are effectively wearing a mask, and nobody knows who's behind that mask, who's really writing the checks to pay for all their advertising, who's really bankrolling these outfits. And so the public is kept utterly in the dark about who's trying to influence their vote. And the public deserves to know who these groups really are, who's supplying them with the money, how much they're spending to influence elections. All that should be disclosed. But thanks to this loophole in our law, these groups are able to operate under a cloak of darkness.
Its goals sound pretty laudable, so why did it take so long to get to this point? And this question may be redundant, but who's against it and why?
Well, who's against it is pretty much the biggest of the big money interest groups out there. And any interest that wants to try to influence elections but keep their fingerprints off of it. You know, groups don't need the issue ad loophole to participate in elections. This bill wouldn't stop anybody from running advertising. It wouldn't stop anybody from speaking. What these groups need this loophole for is to speak anonymously, to be able to prevent the public from knowing who they really are and where their money really comes from. So they need this loophole to escape disclosure, and they need this loophole to get around campaign contribution limitations. Using this loophole, these groups can take money from anywhere, from anyone, in any amount, and they don't have to disclose a thing. The public is kept entirely in the dark.
Special interest opposition aside, it sounds as though the whole issue could be decided for good or for bad in Washington. Could you tell us about the U.S. Supreme Court's pending decision and why it may affect this proposal and elections overall in Wisconsin?
Well, I guess I should first say that the Supreme Court case wouldn't prevent Wisconsin from passing this law, but depending on how they rule, it could result in a legal challenge to that law. The lawsuit that you're talking about is one called Citizens United versus Federal Election Commission, and a ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court is expected any day. It's a lawsuit challenging federal law, not state law. So it doesn't directly apply to Wisconsin, but it certainly could have residual effects, depending on what the ruling says. It started out as a really narrow dispute about whether federal election laws should apply to a made-for-TV, a pay-per-view cable TV production called Hillary the Movie, which said lots of nasty things about Hillary Clinton just before the California primary, back in the last presidential election. The Federal Election Commission ruled that federal election laws should apply. They shouldn't be able to use unlimited corporate funds to pay for it. They should have to disclose their donors, all of that. The group that produced the video, this outfit called Citizens United, sued. The case has made it all the way to the Supreme Court. Now, if it were just confined to this simple question of whether federal election laws should apply to that movie, then it wouldn't really have any implications for our state legislation or any state law. But in the summer, the U.S. Supreme Court expanded the scope of its review to include whether to possibly overturn two past court rulings. And if they were to do that, it definitely would have implications for this legislation that is being considered in Wisconsin. If they did the broadest, most sweeping ruling that would be possible, if they overturned both of these past rulings, they would actually be turning back the clock to the late 1800s, and even a law like the 1906 ban on corporate contributions in Wisconsin and a similar law, the Tillman Act at the federal level that was passed in 1907, could be overturned, which would really turn us back to a time that none of us have seen in our lifetime, and would take our political landscape back to the point where this country was at in the late 1800s.
Okay. So the bill's now in the Assembly awaiting a vote. Any idea how that's going to pan out?
Well, it should pass. And you know, obviously, if the Citizens United ruling comes out and that makes us consider any changes to the legislation or creates an obstacle to moving forward with this, then that'll have to be taken into consideration. But the bill has already been approved by an Assembly committee, and a majority of the members of the Assembly are on record in favor of the legislation. They've either voted for it in the past or they've pledged to vote for it in response to candidate questionnaires. So the votes appear to be there. It should pass. The governor has for a long time said that he supports this idea, so he should sign it. This should become law in Wisconsin, and the Senate is just the first step in what should be three steps to actually passing this into law. The question is whether that Supreme Court ruling will have the kind of implications that many fear it will, and then we would have to take a look at perhaps recrafting the legislation in some way.
Okay. If all the stars do align and the bill eventually becomes law, will it be in effect for the coming November 2010 elections? And do you think we'll see as much negative electioneering by as many of these groups as we've seen in recent years?
If the bill is passed in short order, it can take effect for the 2010 elections, so it certainly can be in effect for this fall. If it is in effect, first of all, what you'll see is you won't see these outfits like All Children Matter and Coalition for America's Families and Greater Wisconsin Committee able to spend unlimited sums of money and without any disclosure. What you'll effectively see is these groups would have to operate as registered political action committees, which would then limit them in where they can get their money. They can raise it only from individuals in amounts not exceeding $10,000. So they couldn't take unlimited corporate treasury money. They couldn't take donations larger than $10,000 from any individual. So I think what that would do is, first of all, it would shine light on who's trying to influence elections. The public would get a lot more information than they currently get. And then groups would have to play the game the same way candidates do and the same way that registered political action committees do. They'd have to raise money under the same campaign contribution limitations. So it would create a situation where I think you would see less of this outside special interest campaigning. But more importantly, the public would see much more about what special interest campaigning is being done, who's paying for it, how much is being spent, and who these groups really are.
Okay. Well, thanks for your comments, Mike. For additional details about the Issue Ad Bill, visit the Legislative Initiatives section of the Democracy Campaign's website. And to follow what happens to the proposal down the road, sign up for the Democracy Campaign's email alerts or check for developments on the group's Facebook page or on Twitter. Thanks for listening.